Welcome, listeners, to Time for an Awakening on Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennia. This is a history and current events program from a cultural perspective. We find this program necessary because Hosea 4:6 states my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. But we as a people can turn this around. Proverbs 4:7 states wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all that getting, get an understanding. Again, welcome to the program this evening with your hosts, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. The number to reach us to join the conversation this evening is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We're streaming live at several locations. You can go to timeforanawakening.com, which is the homepage, and listen to the live stream from that location. You can go to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Again, that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening, and catch the live stream there also. You can catch it on ourradionetwork.com. That's ourradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening, as in the Black Belt, and catch it from that location also. Or you can download TuneIn to any of your handheld devices. TuneIn is a free app. And in that TuneIn search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening. There you'll see the icon, and you can listen to the program live, even into your car if you have the Bluetooth capabilities or the auxiliary connection. Again, that's Time for an Awakening radio program with the live stream on the TuneIn app. Drop us an email at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Again, that's timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Time for Awakening also has a fan page on Facebook. In that Facebook search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening radio program. There you always see interesting content being posted daily. And do me a favor, before you leave that page, just hit that like button. That's Time for an Awakening radio program with the fan page on Facebook, and Time for Awakening Media is there also, full of podcasts of all the new programs and also interesting articles that you can download, listen at later times, or even share with your friends. So make that one of your favorites and put that in your address bar. That's timeforanawakening.com. That's timeforanawakening.com. will take you straight to Time for an Awakening Media. Tonight, I'm missing Brother Richard. He's dealing with his mother. She kind of took a little bad turn. He's been with her for the past couple of days. My heart goes out to Brother Richard. He's a good brother. Heart goes out to his family in dealing with their mother in this trying situation. But we'll be flying solo this evening. I'll probably have a couple of callers call in. Brother Ralph, he's always there. Part of the Time for Awakening family, so he'll probably be joining us in conversation. But we'll be right back to get things started. We'll be in open forum, so you can dial and be part of the conversation also by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We'll be right back to get things started after a brief word from our sponsors.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Not a Wu-Tang-a. All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Overworked? Suffering with an underperforming company, headache customer, staff, or vendors? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? We turned a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one transformation created for entrepreneurs like you in various industries around the country. Not what you're used to from accounting and business consulting? Well, welcome to New Business Solutions. If you're ready to go beyond advising, coaching, and training and get implemented results, call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions apply the best comprehensive administrative, accounting, operations, human resources, management, sales, and marketing to help you actualize your vision for yourself and your company. From anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072. Spelled new as in numerous on your device right now. Book your free consultation at newbusinesssolutions.com.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
From antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening. With your host, Brother Elliot. Sundays, 7 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit us up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. And usually I introduce my co-host before we get started. But again, Brother Richard is dealing with his mother. She kind of took a little bad turn there, and he's been with her the past couple of days in the hospital, staying overnight. So, hearts and thoughts go out to Brother Richard and his family in their hours of dealing with their mother in the midst of her illness. When we take a little break, I'll play a little something for Brother Richard and his family. When we take our break in the 8 o'clock hour. But we're in open forum this evening. Anything that's on your mind, give us a call, 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We've done no announcements this evening that we do have. This afternoon, Brother Ralph's book group, along with Sister Sean and a few other dedicated folks, they usually take some of the literature that's pertinent to our struggle here and talk about it. Bounce ideas back and forth. Talk about things in reference to the material that they're reading. I think this month's selection was Dr. Claude Anderson's latest book. And Claude Anderson was on the call with them this afternoon talking about immigration and a few other hot topics going on. And it's good to have Brother Ralph pinch hit sometimes when, just like in the baseball game, when you need somebody to come in and pinch hit. We always have part of the family here. Brother Ralph is here with us. Brother Ralph.
Good evening.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine, man.
Listen, you know, that, and that's one of the things that's being talked about now and bantered around, not only in this popular media, but also in black media. This topic of immigration, you hear some of our so-called political representatives, black political representatives, spouting a party line, so to speak, especially a Democratic Party line, dealing with this topic of immigration. But then you hear other voices coming from the grassroots, or the man in the community, so to speak, talking about immigration. I know that this was one of the topics that you was involved talking about it with Dr. Claude Anderson this afternoon in your, the book club that you're a part of, along with Sister Sean and some others. Brother Ralph, talk about this topic from the perspective that was being talked about today. Because not only to, you know, your session with Dr. Claude Anderson this evening, usually I tune in and catch Sharpton's program on Sunday morning just to see what the people are talking about. And they were talking about this subject today. I didn't catch it all. In fact, the majority of it I missed. But I know that you were on the line and caught not only that, but was on the line with Dr. Claude Anderson. Introduce this topic from your perspective and how they were dealing with it today.
All right. Well, you know, since I can't really remember when this thing came about, but we've been beat over the head with this immigration bill, and you know, they and all the Democratic Party and their spokespeople—that's what I call them. Spokespeople. I don't care if they call themselves a civil rights leader or whatever. They're nothing but spokespeople that tell us, basically, as black people, and it's very insulting, to just, you know, don't ask no questions. Just vote. You know, and they've been running the same game on us, man, since I've been born, and I'm going on 60 years old. And they've been running the same game, like the Republican Party is racist. Because and obviously what they do, the Republican Party shows us who exactly these other people. They put a few puppets in their party, and they pay them very well to mislead us. But it's the same thing on both sides. You know, I often quote Malcolm X when he says that, you know, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party are wings of the same bird. You know, without one of those wings, is you know, the bird wouldn't take off. So they basically support the same cause, and that's actually to keep black people as a permanent underclass. Under the leadership of Sister Sean, and she might be calling in, she developed this book club out of Dr. Claude Anderson's latest publication, A Black History Reader, 101 questions, where he doesn't really have chapters, he has questions. And with all this immigration stuff going on, he has questions 50 to 54 dealing with this topic. And you know, I'm not Claude Anderson. I was honored to actually be part of the discussion. But you know, he brought up something that I think all black folks should really, really concentrate on. Use this as a foundation to like start our process. And it was the Civil Rights Act of 1866. I'm gonna read it like this. It was the first United States federal law to define citizenship and affirm all citizens are equally protected by the law. So that means all citizens. Now, it says it was mainly intended to protect, listen to this carefully, the civil rights of persons of African descent born in, that means born here, or brought to the United States. In the wake of the American Civil War.
Okay.
The legislation was enacted by Congress in 1865, but vetoed by President Andrew Johnson. But in 1866, Congress voted again and passed the bill, you know, and then Johnson vetoed it again, but they had two-thirds of the party to overcome that, and it became law. So that means under the law that we African people that were born here or brought to the United States have rights under this law. We were supposed to get 40 acres and a mule and $100 with interest. We should all be millionaires about right now. But in 1964, something wicked happened. They had another civil rights bill. And under that civil rights bill, they didn't talk about people of African descent. They talked about immigrants and minorities and everything else. And you still have these same players talking about how much of an accomplishment that was for us in 1964. Well, actually, it didn't give us anything. And I always say this, Ellie, and you always hear me say that. You never look for laws from lawless people. They can pass all the laws they want. If they don't protect you under the law, then what good is that law? And here it is. This was a law in 1866 that we should not only have the 40 acres of the mule, but we should be defined as citizens here, and we'll have equal protection under the law. This is 1866. But, you know, since then, we had Jim Crow. We had lynchings. We had Dred Scott decision. So we cannot continue to just go out here and pour the level and vote and then, you know, think that just because we voted, we did something, and we still get ignored by the law. We have innocent brothers and sisters out here. I'm going to throw some sisters in there because, you know, Sandra Bland, you know, even though they said she committed suicide, which I still don't believe, you know, we have innocent people out here, man, being killed by these people that's supposed to be protecting us as citizens under the law. That's a lawsuit right there. So Claude Anderson right now is going to court. I can't retain everything that he talked about today. But the man, like, you know, court calls make money. I made a donation to the Harvest Institute today. I'm going to support the brother because he's basically the only one talking for the rights of black people. All the rest of these clowns out here that you pull the lever for are talking about these children from another country that never paid taxes in this country. they never, you know, matter of fact, the people, you know, talk to them. They're very open on how they feel about us as black people. They think very little of us. Like, we deserve to get what we're getting.
Well, let me say something in reference to that, Ralph, and I don't want to break your thought. See, that's why it's important for all of our people to look at our situation here and use a historical guideline and perspective when you're dealing with Europeans. Because it always bounces back to our historical relationship with them and vice versa. Now, you talked about that Civil Rights Bill of 1866, which was solely intended for African Americans. Now, 100 years later, you had the Civil Rights Bill that they signed that everybody is benefiting from, white women, gays and lesbians, everybody else. When they never intended to live up to that Civil Rights Act of 1866. you know, let me add something, because you recited some things dealing with that bill. Let me add something that I just pulled up in reference to that act of 1866. It says here, hold it a second, let me get it. It says the Civil Rights Act of 1866 also said that any citizen has the same rights as a white citizen to make and enforce contracts, to sue or be sued, to give evidence in court, and inherit, purchase, lease, sell, or hold, or convey real estate or personal property. Additionally, the act guaranteed that all citizens are full and equal benefits of all laws and proceedings for the security of any person or property as enjoyed by white citizens. And like punishment, pain, and penalties, person who deny these rights on account of race or previous enslavement are guilty of misdemeanors upon conviction, face a fine exceeding $1,000 or imprisonment for 1 year or both. Now, it says person who denies these rights on account of race or previous enslavement. So again, this bill was directed towards African Americans. Later on, a year later, they passed that 14th Amendment that again specifically talks about African Americans, no one else. But then you see, after you said you had Jim Crow, you had lynching, you had basically the South running their own shadow government that the government of the United States knew about. You had all these things going on in violation of not only this Civil Rights Act of 1866, but violation of the Constitution of this quote-unquote United States. And it was allowed. So this goes along with what you were saying. You still with me?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah, this goes along with what you're saying. It just puts a historical perspective on this to let us know that Europeans never intended to live up to the spirit of what they were professing. They always like to put on a good face, an image, especially for other people. And now, you know, we have the advent of media and basically the world is watching. So they have to put on a civil face for the world, but they never intended to live up to the spirit of these things dealing with black folks. It was never their intention.
Right. And, you know, listening to that program today, this morning, the latest civil rights leader or silver rights leader, and Alton Maddox always called them the leading blacks, because they're put out in front of you to deceive you. That was the main topic this morning. Forget all the things that our people are going through. This man has the audacity to come on a black, so-called black-owned radio station, talk to black people and tell us about people south of the border who don't like us, and try to convince some of the callers, because I got to give credit to the callers today, man. We as the people are waking up to the foolishness and the nonsense. And it was caller after caller calling him out on his foolishness, talking about, well, I watched that Politic Nations, and you had nothing to say about the man being shot down in Pittsburgh. I was watching Politics Nation. You had nothing to say about the 12-year-old boy that was shot down. And his response to these people was to lie, and says you must not be watching, and hanging up on them. And you know, people are starting to see, they're starting to wake up and find out that the reason why we are so far behind is because we have these deceivers that they put on television, put on the radio, put in these political parties to actually just tell us, give us your vote. And then their only ammunition against, and some of our people fall in, I mean, I see them and I see what they're saying. And then some of our people, so they tell you how wicked of a man Donald Trump is. Let me tell you something, Ellie. And I, you know, I like what this one brother said. He said, a heathen can only act like a heathen. Why sit around and complain about that heathen all day long? Just get up and do something different. That's all we as a people have to do. We have to get up. We got to do call a spade a spade. A heathen is a heathen. He has no good in him. But why should I waste my breath talking about Donald Trump? Now, some people might say, well, you wasted your breath talking about Obama. And the reason why I did, because he had him as a spokesperson for the Democratic Party. You know, he had a lot of our people fooled. We were fooled into, I mean, I could, you know, I think the best thing that ever happened was Donald Trump going in the White House. Because when I heard after that man got elected, and I heard grown men, me and your age, Elliot, calling up radio stations crying like a bunch of punks, talking about what we gonna do and this, man, where you been at? What have we been doing? What have we been telling y'all? But they were so deceived under 8 years of the Democratic Party. And I'm going to go back to these immigrants, because a lot of that stuff was strengthened under Barack Obama, like DACA and all that other nonsense. It was strengthened. And I'm in, you know, I go to a lot of construction sites. And what I used to see a lot of these immigrants on these construction sites. They had a problem with me. Here's a man that's been paying taxes for what, since I was 14 years old in this country, doing things and voting in this country, doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing in this country. But you got people just coming across that border, don't want you on none of these job sites. Matter of fact, they will tell you to your face, if we have a business or anything, the last thing we're going to hire is a black man. I mean, all we got to do is get a little courage and ask them, and they'll tell you to your face who they are, what they think about you. You know, we have black men being killed. No, not black men. We have black families being run out of their homes in Southern California right now. I mean, ran out of California. Maxine Waters ain't saying a thing about it because they represent a huge, well, that's what they're telling me anyway, because they represent such a huge percentage of our voters. But that's not true. She's not allowed to say anything about that. So you got black people being harassed. They're calling it ethnic cleansing. Nothing in the news media. Nothing about it at all. Mexicans are shooting down our children coming home from school. This is going on right out there. It was a place called Hawaiian Gardens. Look it up. Hawaiian Gardens, they called it ethnic cleansing. They wanted all the black people out of there. I went to Compton, California the last time I was out there. I thought it was a black section of Los Angeles County. It's not anymore. I went through South Central where they had those riots on Rodney King, rode through there. I thought that was a black section. Not anymore. They're running black folks out of there, and they're letting them know we don't want you around. They also have ties to the Aryan Nation in prison to get rid of N-words. So why are our people so caught up crying, fighting for the rights of people who hate us? Matter of fact, I always hear certain callers say, European this, European, these people hate us even more. So why should I waste a tear? Look how they treat dark-skinned people in their own country south of the border. You know, so, I mean, come on, man. Come on. So, Floyd Anderson's letting you know black people better start looking out for black people. Stop being fooled by the Democratic Party. This immigration bill, is there's supposed to be immigrants coming in to actually replace you. You know what I mean? Replace you. So,
well, you know, I mean, if you're out here because you're on different construction sites in different states. So, I mean, you see the process of what's going on. But mm-hmm. we realize who's orchestrating all of this or who is trying to orchestrate it. But even if you put a historical perspective on that, if you look historically, after what happened in Haiti, when the French got their behinds kicked and had to sell a large portion of what became United States to the colonies at that time, that Louisiana Purchase. Later on, the three explorers, Lewis and Clark, and they had, and I forget, boy, I'll have to go back and look because I don't have the man's name handy. But he went with them. Now, he was either Lewis or Clark's servant. I mean, he was a brother. He was an enslaved African that went with them. Now, he mapped out a lot of area out there, that Oregon Territory and a lot of those areas to the west, to the Pacific Ocean. He mapped those areas out. Because they kind of went three separate ways. If you look at that Lewis and Clark, or the story of Lewis and Clark, that man did a lot to map out what you know as the continent of the United States. But when he got back, I think the Congressional Medal of Honor or something was given to Lewis and Clark, but it wasn't given to him. And he became either Lewis or Clark's slave again. I think later on he was able to purchase his freedom. But that wasn't the deal when he went out there with them. But what I'm trying to say is, all during that period of history, the states we know now of Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, California, areas of Nevada, all those areas were inhabited by Mexican people. That was their land that was taken by the United States and pushed people into other areas of what you know now as Mexico. So when you see this historical perspective, now the people coming across the border, we're going to build a wall and stuff like that. People are just taking back what's theirs or want to take back what's theirs. But the United States is setting ground rules for them to come back. And it always comes down to something that you have achieved here in this country that's being taken and given to another people.
Well, I'm going to tell you something.
Go ahead.
I remember back in 1987, a couple of Mexican boys, they used to wear these T-shirts called the Invasion. And so I'm going to ask them, what does that mean? They said, we're coming back to take what was ours. I mean, he told me straight up. Said, Texas belonged to us, New Mexico, Arizona, all that belonged to us. So we're coming back to take back what's ours. Told me straight up, man. So, you know, maybe not all of them have that mindset, but it sure do look like it. You know what I mean? So, no, and, you know, and the thing that I think that we have to stop being fooled about, though, there's no such thing as a black-brown coalition. Now, our spokespeople or leading blacks want you to think there is. But if it came to an all-out riot in this country, man, they joining forces with the man so quickly to get rid of you. I'm just telling you from my experience. I've seen it. I mean, they will. All we gotta do is practice some courage and tell them they won't. And if it's just a few of them living in your neighborhood, they're not gonna say nothing to you. But wait till they become the majority, then you'll find out exactly what I'm talking about. Just like the people in California. So you know. And then we got a lot of fault with that too, Elliot, because like I told you. I would love for you to come on here and start talking more and more about ethics, what we brought up in one program, about our behavior and what we should be clinging on to, because certain things we do as a people, we gotta start owning up to our own dirt, not air it, but own up to our own dirt. We got a lot of people that actually do us a lot of harm, man, as a people. So, you know, I don't know where to go with this. I think, you know, a lot of times we talk about separation. I think we got to sort of like clean house inside before we even get to that point. Because if we just want to grab on to any, I mean, you know, I hear the brother from Tennessee always calling in talking about Marcus Garvey. And I hear that. But one thing Marcus Garvey said, it's not my intent. And I'm going to tell you what Claude Anderson said about this also. But Marcus Garvey said, it's not my intent to take all Africans back to Africa. There are some of them that's no good here, and there'll be no good over there. You know, this is a Mark Marcus Garvey quote. So you still have the same element in within. So, you know, and the other thing Claude Anderson said, now, I know the brother from Tennessee because I hear him and I listen to the morning program on Time for Awakening. He says, look, we built this country. We are native to this country. Yes, we came from there. That's where our bloodlines are from. But we are here. We should stay here and fight. Now, that's Claude Anderson. That's what he said. We are native to this land. And it's ours. So we should stay here and fight. Now, that's what Claude Anderson said. That's not me. But that's another perspective that we need to look at. Because I think a lot of times we talk about, like, well, we need to separate and go back to Africa. Well, if you go back over there, the colonizers running that over there, too. That's not the whole. And I hear people, and see, people get mad at me. But, I'm going to call a spade a spade. I hear us romanticizing Africa like it's Wakanda, and it's not. You know what I mean? Colonizers run that also. When I was just in the Caribbean, and I every island I went to, and I had my wife as a backup, the tour guides told us the Chinese and the East Asian run all the supermarkets and big businesses. They were set up, and the island's majority black, but the Chinese and the East Asian are set up to run all the big businesses. So this thing is worldwide, man. It's just not in the Caribbean. It's just not here. It's going on the continent right now.
Well, but let me ask you something in reference to what you said, Ralph, and you quoted Claude Anderson's word about us fighting because we built this place. And listen, I have no problems because our ancestors did build what we see here, the infrastructure of this country.
But not according to DACA, because that girl said on Dreamers built this
She
country.
Need to read.
That was a direct attack on us. When she said that.
Let me say something in reference to that. I don't want to say a fine line, but that's something that need to be really looked at, because I agree that we need to fight for our dignity and respect as African people being here. And all of that, as far as our historical perspective, our ethics has to be retrieved and held on to. But should we fight to maintain areas that were taken from other people? Do you understand? You follow what I'm saying?
I follow what you're saying, but some of our historians said we were here also. So it was some of us here also. It wasn't just the red man. It was also us here, too. Now, I'm only going by certain historians. I don't know. I wasn't born back there. I only speak from my experience on things that I've seen firsthand. But I'm only going by a historical reference. They saying some of our people were already here also. So who knows? You know, who knows?
When you say who knows, what do you mean?
Like, you know, I hear what you're saying. You're saying, like, we're going to fight, but this thing.
No, that's a question. That's just a question. That's a question that I threw out there.
Let me tell you my experience with one of those people that this land was taken from. The only racial incident that I got in a fight with, and the only racial fight that I got into when I was in the United States Navy, was with a Navajo. And so I don't care about him either. You know what I mean? I mean, I gotta be real with you. And he called me their favorite word, and I tried to knock his nose through the back of his head. And they were going to, like, lock us up, but they had a certain treaty with the Navajo, what they couldn't really do, and then it would have been a racist end, so they made us work together until we survived that training. But I'm telling you, I don't care about them either. I'm worried about our people, Elliot.
Oh, I agree with you there.
Yeah, so we got to fight what our ancestors worked hard. They worked in these houses. They bred their children. They did a lot of, why should I just run off to Africa and pretend it's Wakanda? I can't do that, man. I'm talking about reality here. And most of, I'll be honest with you, most of the people out here saying that stuff ain't made a move either. They're still here telling us that that's what we got to do. But they have not made the move. Be an example. Make the move. Then maybe, and if you tell me how it is, then maybe I'll follow. But I'm not just going to go by a bunch of rhetoric about a bunch of people still living here and telling me this is our solution. I can't do that. You know what I mean? So, you know, it is my wish to one day leave out of this country. But I have a mother here, I have children here, I have grandchildren here. So I guess, you know, I got to look at that Civil Rights Bill, 1866, and say, like, you know, maybe Dr. Call did have a point. Maybe I do have something to fight for. Maybe it is my grandchildren that are still here, and I just can't pick up my bags and run to Wakanda. You know what I mean? I mean, that's another thing, man. We were caught up in that. You know, don't get me started. But I just like dealing with reality. That's about as real as I can get. I only deal with my experience, and that's the only thing I really have. I'm not a historian. I only go by what certain historians tell me. So, you know, I just try to speak from that perspective, man. You know, right now I know about immigration. I know for a fact those people do not like you. They don't like you.
Oh, listen,
so
I
waste a tear over somebody that wouldn't care to cut your throat today or tomorrow. So, you know, I'm just there.
No, I agree with what you're saying. Our focus should be on our people and developing ways to move our people forward. But the reality is that most of our people are caught up in this argument dealing with this immigration. And some of them are siding, saying these people shouldn't be here. And others are saying that they need to be here and we need to work together. But the thing is, our fight and what we got to deal with has nothing to do with those other people. Their fight and their problem with this man, this European, has basically nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with them. So, see, that's why we have to look at these things from a historical perspective. I mean, sure, we're here, and they don't like black folks because they see what has happened over the past 150 years with their lands being annexed and black people being here. But the problem that they have is not necessarily with black folks. It's with Europeans and what Europeans have historically done to them and to their countries and to the economy of their countries. That has everything to do with Europeans and white supremacy. So our people trying to defend that type of moral behavior, especially out of Europeans, is somewhat misguided.
And who were the first people that this man separated families, sold the father and mother off? You know, God knows what their documents saying that they fed our children to alligators. Who were the first people? Shed a tear for that.
Oh yeah, exactly. That's what had me scratching my head when I heard guys like John Lewis and Jim Clyburn crying about children in cages. I mean, all you got to do is go down to Philadelphia. They got 5 prisons down there on State Road. If he want to cry for children in cages, go down there and look at Greaterford, the House of the Correction, the Detention Center, and look at those cages.
48th and Market.
And see the children sitting up in cages. If he want to cry and have a plea in the halls of Congress or whatever that is about children in cages, you got enough to deal with. It's enough of us to deal with where half of these children that are put in these cages are put in there unjustly or on trumped up charges.
I'm about tired of John Lewis, too, man. It's time for him to go somewhere and just sit down. I'm about sick of him. You know what I mean? And I, you know, I asked one of my relatives that lives down in Atlanta. I said, why y'all keep voting for that guy and putting him in office? I mean, they put him on TV just to insult us as a people. That's what they're doing. And And my cousin says he runs unopposed every time. You know, so, you know, it is what it is, man. But, no, I just had to call you and let you know what our topic was today. It was on immigration. You know, I hope our people ain't all caught up in the hype. You know, better look at our history and try to figure out how we're going to stop that from happening to us again. Because the way it looks, it might be right around the corner. So, you now, better...
Now, Ralph, let me ask you something. If you look back at... what happened to our people historically and the people that were brought here already knew a lot about building, agriculture, construction. You could see it. What they did to some of these lands, what they did to South Carolina. South Carolina was basically, the state of South Carolina was basically swamp. What they did with that land is almost historic, but you'd never hear anything about it. Mm-hmm. What they did with several of these lands, and it was other people here at the time, but they didn't do things to these lands that our people did when they came here in slave conditions. But what I'm saying is the people came here with ingenuity and expertise in a lot of different fields. If you look now, 400 years later, where the table has been flipped, and not by our own doing, you have a segment of our population, and I don't want to say how large or small, a segment of our population which have no viable skills. In order to reclaim areas, to go back to lands of our former nativity or homeland and be a part of building, then you have to have some type of viable skill. Our ancestors came from those lands with viable skills. You can't go there.
Farmers.
Well, exactly. You can't go there with a mentality of I'm going to stand on the corner or I'm going to sit around all day like some of our people do here. This man has created a mindset of our people that wasn't, our people weren't no lazy people. They weren't people that didn't want to do anything. This man has created a terrible mindset. We got to have a reclamation of values and ethics among our people. It has to start. And it's going on now. But if you look, just like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, if you depend on this television to give a gauge of our people, it gives you the gauge that all of our people are out here shooting and killing one another, which is not true. Because these other people are doing just as much shooting and killing, but it's not broadcast on TV as such. They just caught a guy, for people that are familiar in Pennsylvania, they just caught a guy on the outskirts of Philadelphia that had been bombing in that area for quite a while. This guy they just caught. Now, I didn't even know this, the serial bomber was loose out there. Did you hear about this guy that they just caught apprehended?
No.
Okay. They just caught him a couple days ago. He had all his bomb-making material. He had bombed several areas in Bucks County. And it was a serial bomber going on. But who knew? It wasn't broadcast on the media until they caught this guy. So what I'm saying is these people are committing just as many crimes, selling just as many drugs, doing just as many drugs, and as dysfunctional as any black person that you see. But if you rely on the media, you're doing all the drugs, you're in family dysfunction, and you're committing all the crimes. We just can't allow that narrative to keep going on. Everybody can't go to college. I understand that. But everybody can.
You will read my mind because that's a lot of us.
But everybody can learn a marketable skill. That don't necessarily mean you having to go to college.
That was a mindset back in the 70s I want you to go to school, go to college, so you can be somebody.
Well, listen, I think that a lot of our ancestors wanted our people to be educated, because some of our people that came off those farms and all, they weren't educated. I mean, it's people in my family.
They were educated, but not according to this country.
Well, we were here and couldn't have reading, right?
You know what I mean? So my grandfather on my mother's side, maternal grandfather, he was a farmer. And he was very good at doing what he was doing and left his children lots of money. So he was educated. I don't care what kind of high school education he had or whatever. He was educated where he could leave his children money and property. You know what I mean? And send certain children to school. So, you know, I mean, we got to even look at that word education. What does that really mean? Does it mean like more brainwashing? It definitely has a cause of division within our community because, like you said, we lack ethics. You know, if you got a PhD behind your name, you think you could talk down to people.
Well, but then you're adopting a European mindset when you do that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So, you know, the ethics and the moral values all goes hand in hand with knowing your culture and knowing who you are, because you might have ethics and moral values that lend to you being European minded, and then you're defeating the purpose of everything. Let's take a couple callers here. Let's go to 225.
Evening, gentlemen. You know, I'm actually disappointed with the kinds of comments that are being said. First of all,
well, what disappoints you? Let's take it point by point.
Right. Well, first of all, in terms of Claude Anderson, talk about the fact that in 1866, you know, a law was passed that basically gave black people rights, and then in 1964, a new law was passed that diluted those rights that had been given. And then to infer from that there was no intention, you know, to give us rights in the first place, but then to say that I'm raising money to go.
No, wait a minute. Hold it. Let's go a little slower. That's why I said take it point by point. Now, go back. You said in 1866. Don't go. I don't want you to name two or three things and then you got to. I got to fish for to go back. Let's take it point by point. You said in 1866. What was that?
Right. In other words, the 1866 law, that Civil Rights Act or whatever that was passed.
Yes.
And then he says that in 1964, a Civil Rights Act was passed, which had less power or diluted rights relative to the 1866 Act.
Okay, was that true or false?
Well, no, I'm saying I'm granting all that, but I'm saying his logic is absurd because.
Well, no. Well, wait a minute. How is his logic absurd when you said granting that?
I'm getting ready to show you how his logic is absurd. He infers from the diminution of rights that we got in 1964 relative to 1866. He infers that. There was a disingenuity in giving us those rights in the first place.
Okay, stop. Stop right there.
He doesn't have to infer that.
No, he didn't say you. He said Claude Anderson.
Let me say Claude Anderson. Because when you hear what I'm saying, then you can respond.
Okay.
One of the inferences was that we can't depend upon law. That was the inference, right? Because a good law was passed and then another law was passed and we still ain't got either the things from the first law or the second law, right? And therefore, that means we can't depend upon laws. That was the inference. Now, if you have that inference that you can't depend on laws, then why would you be raising money to go to have some kind of trial to enforce your rights? Why would you do that when you've already established that laws themselves don't enforce nothing? Then unless you've got some kind of way to back up your rights, you don't get rights.
Well, can I answer that? Let me answer that question,
Ellie.
And I'm just going to give you an example. Michael Brown, that was shot down in the street by that policeman. Do you think that policeman was justified in shooting that young brother down like that?
Of course
in
not.
In Ferguson.
Of course not.
Now, if we were protected by the law, that policeman would have been locked up, right? Am I right?
Yes.
If we were protected by Tamir Rice, a little 12-year-old child playing with a little water pistol on the playground, shot down by a policeman. Did that policeman get any prison or anything?
No.
So that's my point, sir. I'm sorry that you took it.
No.
Go ahead.
I understand your point. I'm saying about Claude Anderson. In other words, see, what you're arguing is that laws are just pieces of paper and that relative to black people, they don't mean anything. That's your argument, right?
Is murder against the law?
Brother, I mean, I'm
asking you a question. Is murder against the law?
Yes.
But our people were lynched all over this country during Jim Crow. That is my point, sir. We keep looking toward lawless people. We keep looking toward lawless people, and they're not even enforcing the laws. I'm going to back Dr. Claude. I think he has good intentions. I'm not a person just to sit back and criticize. I'm going to continue fighting until we get some laws, until we force a hand to enforce these laws. But right now, the way we're going, by just simply sitting back and voting for these lame spokespersons that don't even care, don't fight for us, then, you know, I mean, just tell me. I mean, now the 40 acres and a mule, right? All of us should have gained interest on that if we were really protected by the law. So, you know, I'm thinking I'm making a point. You're missing it. Maybe it's the way I'm saying it that I'm making you angry. I don't know, but I'm going to continue fighting for our laws. I'm not going to run nowhere. I'm going to continue fighting. And that's and helping Dr. Claude in his court battle against these lawless people. I'm going to continue fighting. I'm going to help the man. But I don't know how I ticked you off with what I said about these laws ain't nothing but pieces of paper, because I just gave you some examples and you agreed with it.
Well, let me say it this way. Laws are like contracts. When you negotiate with people, you recognize that it is possible for you to pencil whip them on paper, but you recognize that you're going to have difficulty enforcing that. And so unless there are some things in the contract themselves that are self-reinforcing, that enable the people themselves to advance their interest, to have a sense that what they're doing is fair and in their interest, you're going to have problems. So everyone understands that.
Let's go back a second. You said that when you write contracts, you recognize that it has to be mechanical. Say that again.
I'm saying that if me and you had a contract right now,
mm-hmm.
that one of the things that you would do when you wrote that contract is you would say, it don't make no sense for me to make a contract with him where he gets a penny and I get $1 million, because he's not going to be satisfied with that contract. So as a result, I got to either give him something that he thinks is fair, or I got to have some money or some resources set aside to enforce or impose this unfair contract on him. And I'm saying that's just, you know, people understand that about contracts. And the problem that we've had in this country is obviously we've been negotiating from a position of weakness. Which means that, in fact,
we've not only been negotiating from a position of weakness, and I don't have no problem with you saying that, but we've been negotiating with unethical, unscrupulous, heathenistic people that have no intention of living up to contracts. See, it's different if me and you have an agreement, say, well, this brother is leaving his home. He wants to sell it to me for XX price. This, that, and the other. And I know that after you do this, you won't come back 10 years later and try to take it from me. See, but when we've been talking about these laws, or when these laws have been discussed, you have to put a historical perspective on it, because you're dealing with a people that are totally unscrupulous and are liars. It's hard to get involved in a contract with a man that's a liar. And I don't have no problem with using laws to necessarily see. You got to expose this European. Don't like being exposed to other people because he has an image that he's bigger than thou, and he's more ethical than other people. He likes that image. He don't like you exposing him. And see, this is a tool when Claude Anderson or others challenge these laws that were made. See, that act of 1866 was not only an act. A year later, that became part of the Constitution. And it was a total lie. All of it was a fabrication. Those things were directed towards African Americans. That language was put right in those acts and amendment to the Constitution. It didn't say Mexicans, lesbians, and gays, white women. It didn't say that. It says African descent of people who had been enslaved. This man never intended. He was a liar. So you can't talk about this contract like it's some type of contract, and you got it. You're dealing with somebody who is a liar.
What do you think about Shays Rebellion? Shays Rebellion, these were white people who had fought in the Revolutionary War and had returned to Philadelphia and to Massachusetts and various places and had not been paid for fighting. These are white people, had not been paid for fighting in the war, had been levied, had been charged taxes on their property while they were gone. And since they didn't have any money, they couldn't pay the taxes. And as a result, their properties were being foreclosed on.
Okay, I mean, that's what he did to his own.
White people, so
okay, that's what he did to his own. So if he did that to his own, what makes you think he's a liar?
So, let me go a step further. You've heard of Machiavelli. One of the things that if you read Machiavelli, one of the things is that he's basically instructing them on what it is that they need to do to be successful. In other words, white people have not always been the way that they are now. In fact, most white people are not the way that the handful of white people who run the world are. In fact, that's the reason.
Okay,
that,
well, tell me when they were ever different. Maybe you can show me some historical perspective when they were ever different.
Well, I'm showing you right now.
You are? Show me when they were any different than what they are now.
You get France.
I mean, now you're stammering. Show me any time in history, and you know that white people's recorded history is a little limited compared to black folks that goes back thousands of years. So show me any time in so-called recorded history where white folks were any different.
Right. Well, what I'm showing you is that
you're not showing me. In other words,
let me see if I can get. Specific cases.
Come back with some specific cases where white folks as a whole were any different than they are now, and then I'll have to say, well, you got a point, and at one time whites were this way and they digressed. But you can't show me where these people were any different than what they are now. The only thing different is this: we're in modern times, the media's here. It's a lot of spotlight on what they're doing. Their mindset has been no different than when they crawled out of those caves in Europe. No different. They are part of the world. See, what we don't understand is this. Let me say this, and then I'm going to move on. What we don't understand is this. Just like the Almighty created animals and humans, it's different species of animals. Listen, you might have a cat in your house, right?
Okay.
A lion and a tiger is a cat, but they're dangerous. They're very dangerous. They have similar attributes. Look at them. They do some of the same. Your cat in your house does some of the same similar things as his relative, but one is dangerous. Well, you know, our people always throw around, well, we're all humans. We're all of the same blood, but that may or may not be true. Because there seems to be different species of humans. And this person that we're dealing with seems to be a different species of human. I'm no geneticist. I'm no scientist. But he doesn't seem to think like a normal, moral human being. He's different. He's a liar. He's self-aggrandizement. Everything about him seems to be negative to other peoples, even on the face of this planet.
Brother Elliot, now here's what I'm saying. Let's just take the example you just gave, that there are pussycats, and then there are lions, and then there are jaguars, and so on.
Okay.
But even though there are these different kind of creatures, each of these creatures are able to live in harmony with other creatures. So there's nothing wrong inherently with white people, even if they are, you know, if you want to call them Tasmanian devils, whatever you want to call them, whatever is their nature can be accommodated. What I'm telling you is that what they've been doing with Machiavelli, with Francis Bacon, is that they've been doing things. In other words, they were ashamed of who they were. And they call themselves doing things to improve themselves.
Well, so listen, I don't agree.
Avaricious things that you're talking about, these are the things that they consider to be improvements. In other words,
well, I don't agree that they're ashamed of who
they want their nature to be.
I don't agree. Go ahead.
Well, if it were the case that this is their nature, why then would Machiavelli write a book instructing them on what it takes in order to run the world?
Well, Machiavelli can write anything he wants.
Instructing them on what they need to do.
I don't believe that they're ashamed of anything that they've done. But let me tell you this, because
I'm not saying they're ashamed of anything they have done. I'm saying they were ashamed of themselves. In other words, imagine that I looked at you and I saw you had.
Well, if I'm ashamed of myself, then evidently I'm ashamed of something I did. If I'm ashamed of myself,
what I'm saying is that they looked at themselves. It's sort of like us looking at the Chinese and saying, boy, they got these fancy this, that, and the other. What do black people need to do to get them some fancy this, that, or the other, right? Well, I'm saying that that's what the Europeans did. They looked at themselves relative to other people and asked, what do we need to do in order to be more prosperous? And the answers they came back is that we need to be more treacherous. And that's where this is coming from. And so this whole notion, you know, of not having any kind of limits on what you want to achieve, these are new developments. No creatures have ever had these kind of developments. These are all synthetic things. These are not natural. In fact, most white people don't even think this way. That's why you get
Donald. Well, I don't agree with that.
Typical of most white people.
I don't agree with that. This system hasn't changed in over 400 years, and it's been generations upon generations of white folks that have come along, and nothing has changed. You have cosmetic changes. It's no real changes in this society. It's still white supremacist, the same white supremacist mentality has always been. And, you gave an example of the different species, but they learn to live together. And I agree with that, because there is a balance that the Almighty created in nature. The only thing different with this man is that he's always looked to eliminate people, and he's created genocide. He's done genocide on peoples on this planet, and not only species of animals. You got, when he went to Australia and seen the people that lived there, whether it's Tasmanians or whatever he called them, Tasmanians or other native people of the, tried to wipe those people out. He tried to wipe the people out that was native to this land. If it was up to him,
when your household pussycat came to Australia, do you know that they wiped out all of the nesting birds that they saw?
Okay.
In other words, so what I'm saying is that the notion that, you know, things are done, I mean, these are tragedies, but in other words, I'm saying there needs to be a larger explanation.
When you gave that parable of somebody, you got to understand that the balance of nature, when animals kill, they kill to eat and to live. They don't kill just to be killing. That doesn't happen. If an animal was full, he might not even bother you. If a lion has eaten his fill, a gazelle might walk right by him. And he'll do nothing to him until it's time for him to kill again. This man has killed wantingly. That's different. You can't use no parable to try to rationalize this man's thought. You can't rationalize it.
Creatures in nature have limits and they have rules. And that's what enables them to coexist with other creatures in nature.
Yeah, well, you're dealing with a man with no rules.
The problem with the Europeans
and no yardstick. You're dealing with a man with no rules and no yardstick.
Right, and the problem is that he believes that that's the strategy for his success. He believes that if he has rules, that makes him predictable, and therefore it makes him vulnerable to enemies. And if he has limits, that means that he's not maximizing his advantage. That's an ignorance, but that's not his nature. That's the way that he's been educated to be, instructed to be. That's
okay.
Plato would be a great, he's a great philosopher to them, because he was teaching them that's what they needed to do, right? In other words, so what I'm saying is that, in fact, if you go and you look at European history, they've wiped out as many Europeans who didn't agree with this no limit, no rules mindset that we're talking about now, as they have wiped out Africans. So what I'm saying is that this is a synthetic development that happened historically. This is not the nature of white people.
Okay.
Regardless of in other words, let's say that I need to eat 2 gazelles a week, and let's say that you need to eat 4 gazelles a week, and let's say that white people need to eat 50 gazelles a week. Nature can accommodate white people eating 50 gazelles a week because that's their nature. Instead of being a shrimp like me, they're a whale. The problem is that white people don't even want the 50 gazelle a week limit, because people like Machiavelli and Plato and Francis Bacon told them that if you have limits, that's to your disadvantage. So our project is to essentially deconstruct these value systems that are animating their behavior. And the reason
No. I think our responsibility is to deconstruct the value systems that have what you say animated our behavior. I don't give a damn about their behavior unless it affects us. They can do whatever they want. They can self-destruct. That's up to them.
Us, that's why we give a damn about it. Right.
Okay.
In other words, if it were the case that they were just tearing up their stuff, then, you know, we'd let them tear it up. But it's because of the fact that they're impacting us that we got to be concerned about that. When it comes to the people south of the border, there are two advantages that they bring to us. You know, you're talking about the deterioration of black values. Well, one of the things that you get when you associated with people from south of the border that are absolutely essential to our future viability is that they have stronger family units, that they can remind us of what it means to be a family and how to integrate and get along with each other as a family. That's something that's been severely.
I don't need people of Mexican descent teaching. I don't need Mexican descent teaching us how to be a family unit. We've taught the world how to be a family unit.
Well, I'm saying to you that right now, today, you would make the argument that in Philadelphia that you see deterioration of African values. And I'm saying, in other words, I'm just pointing out to you that that's one of the things that that's of benefit. The second thing that's of benefit is that they eat healthier than black people do here in America. Anybody who comes from outside of America, they tend to eat more natural foods, fresher foods, et cetera, et cetera. These are things essential to our survival. And so these are things that can kind of remind us of what it is to be a people, as opposed to simply being individuals or whatever you have to be in these cities.
I want to thank you for your contribution. And even though we disagreed, okay. Listen, I love the conversation.
Okay.
Talk to you soon. Thanks.
Okay. All right.
Before we take a break, let me go to 602. 602. 602?
Yes, brother Elliot.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, good brother. I'm doing great. You know, Marcus Garvey said, you know, he said, Africa for the Africans, those at home and those abroad. See, so we nobody picking up the bag and leaving, running away. We are being, you see, you could be my eyes here while I am there in Africa, and I'll be your eyes in Africa. And we could, you know, maybe I could slip you a couple of them stones, you know what I'm saying? And then you could have some money in your pocket, and then make sure I have some money in my pocket. You know what I'm saying? That's what Africa brings to the table. That's what 12 million square miles of land bring to the table. You see what I'm saying? Because you got to remember, you know, what about the Native Americans in territorial integrity? What about him? You know, he wants his land back. And I know that argument comes up with the Moorish brothers. They say that, well, we were here before them. Yes, I know that history. We were in South America, you know, the Olmec civilization way before, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know that history, but our natural home, our birth, the birthplace, the mama, the big mama, that's Africa. That's why Africa is important. You know, and that's why they had to destroy Garvey's program, especially when he started to get them ships. You see? Because if he started moving those ships and moving goods and people across the ocean, they know that would transform Africa overnight. They said, hell no, we can't let him do that. You know what I'm saying? That's when they really swooped down on Garvey's program. As long as he was talking about here in America, it was no problem. But once he got those ships and put that black star line on it, that was when they came down on it. So Garvey had a vision, and that's the solution for Africa. Because on the continent right now, the young people, they are organizing themselves, and they want to link with us here. See, they want to have business exchange, you see. They said, where are the brothers here in the States who we can organize ourselves with and do business with brothers and sisters of East Africa? So things are being done. You know, just we just don't come on the air and blast it. You know, everybody know what's going on, you know, but things are being made, you know, people are moving, you know. It's not static. It's not static, not because you don't see it, but a lot of movement is taking place outside of America. You see, so we have to link up. We have the technology, you know, and I mean, hey, you know, anybody can go to Africa, but you got to go to Africa with a plan. We understand that.
Okay.
Don't go there looking for a job. Okay? If you go there looking for a job, you're in trouble. You got to go with the mindset to create jobs.
Okay.
See? You know, creators of, what Bob Marley said, Africa awaits its creators. You take care, good brother. Thank you.
Thank you for your call, Brother Marcus.
All right.
We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we'll go back to the phones and continue the conversation. You still there, Brother Al?
Yep, I'm still here.
Okay, we'll take a brief break, and when we come back, we'll continue the conversation. We're in open forum tonight, and you can get involved, too, by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. I'll play a little something coming back from break dedicated to my co-host, Brother Richard, who's dealing with his mother right now in a bad way. We'll be right back.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
Overworked? Suffering with an underperforming company, headache customer, staff, or vendors? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? we turned a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one transformation created for entrepreneurs like you in various industries around the country. Not what you're used to from accounting and business consulting? Well, welcome to New Business Solutions. If you're ready to go beyond advising, coaching, and training and get implemented results, call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions apply the best comprehensive administrative, accounting, operations, human resources, management, sales, and marketing to help you actualize your vision for yourself and your company. From anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072, spelled new as in numerous, on your device right now. Book your free consultation at newbusinesssolutions.com.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening. With host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Welcome back. It's time for an awakening, and we're in open forum this evening. You can get involved in the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. These three words, Stevie Wonder, that goes out to Brother Richard and his family during this trying time dealing with his mother. Brother Ralph?
Yep, I'm here, Al.
Interesting comments by the caller from Louisiana in reference to some of the things that you said. But that just shows that that these issues need to be talked about by people in an intelligent fashion. That stuff that you see some of these talking heads doing, and especially talking heads that look like us, they're not dealing with it from an historical perspective. A lot of them don't know the history of the people they're dealing with. And a lot of them have perceptions that are not accurate. So, you know, that's when I asked the caller when he said that the Europeans has not always been like that. And I mentioned to him, can you show me a time in history when they weren't? And he said, well, I'll have to do a little research on it or something to that nature. I don't want to misquote him. But, you know, that's why I was saying we can't talk about these things from what we would like it to be. We'd have to talk about it from what it is and what it has been. So, you know, I just want to make comments on that in reference to what our brother was saying from Louisiana. Let's go to 215. And, you know, going forward, we'll probably have Brother Donnie Bradford joining us. Brother Ralph, Brother Donnie had some interesting experiences in reference to what you were talking about earlier. I wanted him to come on and share. Okay. Brother Donnie was an organizer for 1 million conscious and conscientious black voters and contributors. He's always been a businessman with expertise in quite a few fields, but he's had some interesting experiences here over the past months that he'll probably come on and share with our listening audience. Let me clear this board first. Let's go to 215. 215.
Hey, Brother Elliot. How you doing, my brother?
How are you, sir?
Hey, Brother Ralph. How you doing, my brother?
Hey, Brother Joe. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right. I want to say first, thank you for playing that song dedicated to Brother Richard and his family. And I just want to say, Brother Elliot and Brother Ralph, my thoughts and prayers go out to Brother Richard and his family, man. I just want to, you know, put that out there, okay?
Okay.
And, you know, Brother Elliot and Brother Ralph, before I talk about the caller from Louisiana and the Europeans in general, this is about Europeans, but in a kind of like funny kind of way. Yeah, you and Ralph ever watched the game show called Price is Right?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay. Well, I was watching it Friday with my elderly client and his caregiver. So to show you what kind of decadent society we live in, Elliot and Ralph, you know when they win and they go up and they spin the wheel, when Drew Carey let them spin the wheel to see if they can make it to the showcase. Well, this white guy, he had spent the wheel. So, you know, when he asked them who they want to say hello to, the people say, I'll say hello to my wife, my husband, my children, my grandchildren, whatever like that, my pets, whatever, you know. So this white guy named Michael, when it's his time to spin, he says, when Drew asked him who you want to say hello to, he said, I want to say hello to my dear husband and my dogs. And so my caregivers, My class caregiver didn't catch it at first, and she was like, Joe, did he say what I thought he said? I said, you heard it right. He said, his husband. He said, I'll be damned. And it was and this stuff is so commonplace now, LA, and especially among these sick people we live under, that 30 years ago, it would have caused uproar. When he said it, the audience like clapped like it wasn't no big deal, you know what I mean? So they just go to show you how much we have fallen as a society, that when a man says another man is his husband, it don't even elicit a murmur. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, this is not just how crazy this society is. See, but the sad thing is, brothers, is that you bring this up, you'll be called a homophobic, a hater. It's not even about being a hater, home. Because like I said, personally, if you want to engage that kind of lifestyle and stuff, that's your business. But when you want to promote that stuff in public around children like that's some kind of normalcy when it's not normal. That's what I have a problem with. You know, like Brother Robert said, when they try to push that stuff on our children, if you want to be with another man and freak out with another man in that sick, perverted way behind closed doors, you got to deal with that. But damn it, don't push that in front of our children like that's normal. Because one thing, children is impressionable, Elliot and Ralph, and they should never be, a young boy or a young girl should never be confused about their sexuality. They should know as a young boy, they're a young boy, or in a young girl, they're a young lady, and they grow up to be wanting to have feelings for another man, or man when they grow up to have feelings for the opposite sex, another woman. That should never be a confused to them, you know what I mean? So that's why I make my stand on that. I don't care, you can call me homophobic, anti-gay, whatever. That's why I have a problem, man. You know, when you become a consenting adult and you of legal age, you want to go that way, that's your business. You got to deal with that, but don't push that on our children. And that's all I'm going to say on that, okay, Elliot and Ralph?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Go ahead.
But anyway, as you know, when you were talking with the brother about the Europeans, you know, I'm a student out of Elijah Muhammad. He has always taught about the nature of the white man. It's not about hatred, but you better know these people's nature. Now, of course, you know, the flip side, you know, people say, well, you know, it's good white people. Well, you know, out of Elijah Muhammad said there were some good white people. He said, but we don't have the luxury of trying to decipher who is good and who is bad. And oftentimes, it's like with the police department. You always say, well, all cops is not bad. But see, the problem with us, it seems like we as black people, Elliot and Ralph, we must have the worst luck in the world. All we do is run into the bad white cops. We tend to run into the good ones and stuff, you know?
Mass shooters always run into the good white cops. They get handcuffs, no scratches.
Hey, Brother Ralph, you must read my mind, because that's what I was, you know, going to discuss tonight, because Brother Ralph and Brother Elliot, see this stuff with these white cops shooting black men in the back, from David Jones here in Philly last year to the young brother who lost his life tragically in Pittsburgh to the brother got shot in the day, the brother down in South Carolina, Walter Scott. See, this stuff didn't just stop. Matter of fact, let me give you and the audience of Time for the Wicked a brief story. My parents, God rest my dad, he passed away back in 75 when I was 14 years old. Well, check this out. That's how my mom and dad met, because both of them was from the South. My dad from Virginia and my mother from North Carolina. So they came up to the South, so they was expecting to be in an area where where they thought blacks would be treated a little better after seeing all the horrendous, horrific stuff in the South happen to our people. But they found out very soon that it's no different. And in a lot of cases, Ralph and Ella, it was worse. For example, back in 1958, 57, that's like 4 years before I was born, that's how my parents met. They went to a meeting of CORE, because the black community down north Philadelphia, right around there by 16th and Dolphin, was outraged because a brother who was a numbers runner, right? He was writing numbers, and he was involved with the speakeasies and stuff like that. Well, the police used to raid the house, and so the brother, you know, he would have as much as like $1,000 on him, and for a black man during that time, that was a lot of money. So when the police, when these white cops raided the house, the brother took off and ran, because he know if he was got arrested, those cops would have took his money. So he took off and ran. And again, wasn't posed no threat to the officer. He's running straight down a Dolphin Street. This white cop got right on his knees, Brother Elliot and Brother Ralph, and to the listening audience, got on his knees and in a target-like position, shot the brother two or three times in the back in front of witnesses and everything. And, of course, how many days in jail you think that bastard served in jail? Not one. And, of course, his thing, like you heard these white cops now, he was in fear for his life. So you see, this been their playbook all from day one. They shoot a black man in the back who's running away from them, pose no threat, and their rationale is they was in fear for their life. And of course, the black community back then was outraged that this white cop got away with killing this young black man in cold blood. So you fast forward to 40, 50 something years later, Walter Scott, David Jones, the Antoine Smith, the young brother in Pittsburgh. So you see the beat goes on and on into what Brother Ralph just said. They shoot these young unarmed brothers in the back and get away with murder, yet these white boys can shoot up a newsroom in Annapolis, Maryland. They can shoot up a black church in South Carolina, and the little devil can sit up there talking about somebody hungry, and the white cops take him to McDonald's or Burger King after he shut up and killed innocent black men and women inside of a house of God. Then you got these white boys that shoot up schools and malls. They bring them in alive, but Philando can still sit in his car with his girlfriend and his child, and he gets blown away in the car. I mean, you just see the beat just goes on and on, and like Brother Ralph just said, these white boys shoot up every damn thing, but they bring them in alive.
Yeah, I mean,
they kill white cops, they bring them in alive. You had a case, Ellie, since I say people understand how deep this stuff, you had a case in Jersey several years ago. This was back when Brother Cody was on the other station, Elliot, on WHAC. Cody was applauding the law enforcement over there because this white transvestite had killed a white cop, and he killed the assistant district attorney over there in South Jersey. And so they had him held up inside this house over there, and I think it was either Washington or Winslow Township. So anyway, it was a standoff. So they had the bullhorns, they had the SWAT team. They was begging the white guy to come out and surrender. So the news reporter asked the white police chief out there, "Ain't y'all gonna bum rush him? Ain't y'all gonna do this? I thought he killed one of your officers, and he killed the district attorney a person." So the guys to the white police said, "Oh no, we're not gonna do that. We're gonna wait him out no matter how long it takes. We're not gonna have no more bloodshed." So Cody got on the radio and he was applauding him. I said, "Cody, don't give that devil no credit. He was only acting like that because it was a white guy." I said, "Cody, you got enough sense to know had that been a black man that killed a white cop and a white district attorney, assistant district attorney, they would have went in there and blew him away. That SWAT team would have bum rushed their house and blew him away." I said, "Letting him come out alive because he's white." And that's what they did. They waited. They got a negotiator, and a white guy came out with his hands up. He wasn't shot. He wasn't beaten like they did Delva Africa during the first move confrontation. He wasn't beat and kicked like Delva was. They took him out in handcuffs, Elliot and Ralph, put the handcuffs on him, and he went. He got sentenced to life in prison, or so they say. You know, but the point is he never was beaten or anything like that. So brothers, even when they surrender, they get beat up, kicked, stomped like Delva Africa, like other brothers and stuff. They got kicked and stomped like that. You know what I mean? So we see clearly how they deal with their own people and how they deal with us is totally different. So, and again, that go back to the nature. When they call from Louisiana, he needs to understand the mindset of the people that you deal with. They don't see us as human beings. And see, like Brother Moore always say, they still operate on the Dred Scott this thing. A lot of white folks still under that thing about the Dred Scott. A black man or woman has no rights that a white person is bound to respect. They still live that. They still live that mode. That's the way a majority of them still feel in this country. If you don't think that way, you're fooling yourself. I don't care whether it's white police officers. Why do you think all these white folks feel so giggly calling police on black people? You got a black child can't sell water, ice or water for some white woman calling the police on them saying she's making too much noise. Or you had a black couple a black child recently, I think, just got arrested because there was mowing lawns. Mowing lawns trying to make some money, and yet some white bigot called the police on them because they was mowing the lawn. You see clearly this is part of their playbook, man.
Yeah.
And the caller from Louisiana, to understand that this is part of their playbook. You can talk about this and that, and they don't mean to be that way. Like you said, Elliot, you can't, and it's not about hatred. You can't find no time in history that the white man wasn't a blood shedder. You can't find no. You can look through the beginning of this earth, and as long as the white man been on this earth, he's been a blood shedder.
Well, he
getting around
the
that.
Caller couldn't show one either, but he said he's going to look, and I'll give him an opportunity to try to look, and maybe he'll come back.
Well, good luck in finding it. Good luck in fact, because like you say, they kill Europeans and stuff, much less they kill their own people and stuff. So you know what they do to people that don't look like them. I mean, these people have no problem shedding blood. And everywhere they go in the world, the country or the place could be stable. But some of the white men come out of there, that country is never the same. All one got to do is look at Iraq. You can say what the hell you want to say about Saddam Hussein. When he was the president of Iraq, that was a stable country. You had women that was highly educated, Elliot and Ralph. They went to the best schools. They ate every day. Matter of fact, this Iraqi store owner said when Saddam was president, they could leave their doors open at nighttime. And by the way, the store owner hated Saddam. He said that he was actually for the U.S. invasion. But he said after the white man came in and disrespected his people and caused a number of crime and chaos, he said he longed for the days that Saddam Hussein could be back because he realized that sometimes the bread is not always butter on the other side. So he might have had issue with Saddam. He realized that had Saddam been still living and present, the country would still be stable right now. But some of that damn white man came in there and took over the country, invaded it, stole all the stuff out of Iraq, everything, and disrespected their women and their culture. That country of Iraq will never be the same. And you can say the same thing about Libya. When Gaddafi was president, people had a high standard of living in Libya. Some of the damn, as Dr. Khaled said, some of the goddamn white man came over there, that country will never be the same again. And this is what they do. Everywhere they go in the world, they do nothing, like the messenger said, they miss troublemakers and mischief makers and bloodshedders. Everywhere they go, they leave a trail of blood, death and destruction. If anybody wanted to deny that, they fooling themselves. A fact, you can't argue with facts. An opinion is you think whether the Eagles going to win the Super Bowl again next year. That's an opinion. But you can't argue with facts. Their facts speak for itself. This is recorded history on their nation. They're doing it now as we speak right now. They're in some country killing and robbing and plundering. So you can't argue with the facts, my brother from Louisiana. They are the facts. And I just wanted to thank you, Brother Ralph and Brother Elliot, for giving me a chance to express myself.
You know, before you leave, before we move on, you gave the example of that white cop shooting a young man in the back. That guy was on a job about 2 hours.
That's right. That's right.
And, you know, he I guess he took his initiation there, shooting a black man in the back. Now, the guy that Brother Asa, Khalif here in Philadelphia, they've been fighting about. This white cop, Powell.
Ryan Powell, yeah.
Yeah. Now, he shot David Jones in his back.
That's correct.
Now, the police commissioner, after heat from the community, fired the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But Asa and them got on the media. Now, I didn't hear it on the popular black media here. But Asa and them got on the media and said that this guy was working at the park authority. Parking authority.
That is correct, Elliot.
Asa said, how does this man get fired from a city job, because Philadelphia Police Department is a city job, and then get another job with the city? Nobody knew
That's
about
right.
this. I didn't mm-hmm. hear no black elected officials say, hey, this guy, what's he doing working at the parking authority? Now, when the heat came on, then he don't have that parking authority job no more.
That's right.
But that's not saying, see, that's the problem. When these cops get exposed after they've been shot and killed innocent black people, men, women, and children, and they supposed to get fired from a job, all they do, these police unions take care of them. Even if they got to move to another state or another county, they'll get another viable job to take care of their family. It's not like they're out there unemployed with no job.
No, you're right. This is the playbook all over the country. When these white cops get fired, see, we get so excited, we be thinking, oh, he got fired or she got fired. But see, that's just the beginning. Like you said, when everything died down and they're not in the news no more, these police unions quietly, like you said, they get them a job either
certainly
a parking authority or get them a job with another police department in some another part of the country, because these police unions stick together. They're like one big, you know, a clan or one big family, if you will. So they take care of them devils when they kill our people. And
yeah,
stuff, man.
Their life is not destroyed. It's similar to,
exactly.
What's that brother that reported that the Watergate break-in? The security
right.
guard.
Like Frank Will,
his life was destroyed.
That's right. His life was destroyed. All the other white boys that we was involved in the break-in that was actually participants, they got rich. Gordon G. Gordon Libby, Hart Ehrlichman, after they went to jail, them devils came out and became millionaires. But this brother died broken, penniless. I mean, this don't show people how I hear this brother exposed a crime by a president, a sitting president of the United States, and sit home profiting from it. He was white ball, black ball, whatever you want to say, and he died broken. And the brother became in such a tough depression that even when Dick Gregory tried to help him, the brother was so far depressed that he became, he got an addiction and stuff like that. So the brother wound up dying a broken man, broken penniless. But y'all don't quite. Devils that was with him that was involved in the break-in, they all died, or the ones that still living are rich, wealthy white men now. But this brother who exposed this crime died broken, penniless. You know, I mean, when the hell are we going to wake up and stuff in this country, man? When are we going to understand that? Go back, Elliot, what you said about the black politicians. Them Negroes sit right up there, and I bet you some of them knew that devil got their job with the parking authority, but they didn't open up their mouth to the black.
And they didn't say nothing. Listen, if Asa was able to find out, you don't think that they didn't know or was able to find out?
Sure they knew. And see, Ellie, that's why you think when Asa and them made Dow Clark the city council president and embarrassed him at that meeting with Kennedy that time, it were not for Asa and a brother, jumping on Dow Clark, he was never going to bring up about David Jones being shot by that cop. That was the furthest thing. But it took Asa and them to embarrass him, to force that Negro to jump up there and say, we always disturb whenever police discard their weapons and if somebody dies, we always find that very disturbing. He's what that Negro said is because Brother Asa and other brother exposed them. Had they never brought that up, Darryl Plug wasn't going to say nothing. You know, I mean, who them Negroes think they're fooling, man? And they go back to about this thing with the cop of the parking authority. Them Negroes sit right up there and let this stuff go on, and see them have enough respect for the black community, come back and say, look, this guy got a job. You know, I just want to let the black community know so we can stand up against this guy. He's unfit to have a job for the city or anywhere else. We're going to stand against it. He sat right up there and wouldn't say nothing. All them Negroes, Dow Clark, all them Negroes knew. Because like you said, if Asa could find out, they knew.
Listen, he wasn't working under an assumed name or alias name.
He was working under his regular name, Ryan Powell. That's Ryan Powell, whatever that devil's name is. He was working under his birth name. That's correct, Elliot.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you, Brother Elliot. Peace.
All right. Let's go to 646.
Hey, yeah, Brother Elias and Brother Ralph. How are y'all? Good.
Hey, how you doing, Brother James?
How are you, sir?
Hey, Brother Ralph, what coalition do the Negro have with anybody?
Wait a minute, say that again, Jay.
What coalition do the Negro have with anybody? Is there one that you can name?
Well, your leading black said there's something called a black-brown coalition. they've been saying that for 8 years now. So, are we supposed to believe them? I mean, they're all on the television set. We elect them. You got one of them right up there on Lenox Avenue, right near you. So...
Perm Daddy. Perm ain't too far from me. Matter of fact, it's funny that Negro preacher that be on there with him on, I think it's Wednesdays or whatever day, my mother goes to his church. Warron, whatever. The reality is this, and let's try to be clear on this and have an understanding. The narrative is a totally dishonest narrative because the one thing they never discuss or talk about in this whole immigration thing is north of the border. Do you ever hear them say anything at all in regards to the north of the border? They never say nothing. So whereby you got just as much people coming in from the north of the border that you do coming in from the south of the border.
Oh, but
nobody discusses that.
Yeah, but they don't look like.
There you go. I was getting ready to drop that little caveat. The reality is this, and let's be very, very clear. This is a white man's country. And the sad thing is that the Negro feels as though he has a stake in a position in this country. And Negro ain't got no stake in a position in this country because he don't produce nothing in order, to be honest, to have a stake in this country. His sole purpose is to do one thing, get closer to, as I call it, the Uruguayan whiteness. That's all. So whereby when we start talking about anything, if you're not talking about sovereignty and moving forward as an African people, you ain't really doing nothing but playing games. Seriously. Because, see, the Mexican, the Puerto Rican, and the rest of them, as I refer to them, Baba Luis, they ain't got no love for you. They don't even get to the point to talk about or identify the fact that they're African. So whereby whenever you're dealing and you're addressing our problems, we at this game alone, in all truthfulness. But we don't see it that way because you got Negroes like Perm Daddy and the rest of them who have to uphold and hold their position so that they can get their crumbs. You know what I mean? And we don't push back on them. We don't say anything about it. We don't address them. We don't deal with them. We don't hold them accountable or anything. So whereby, you know, you have somebody like the first caller who called in, I didn't understand what the hell he was talking about. You see what I'm saying? Because the bottom line is, we live in a society where black people's sole purpose is to basically entertain the Yoruba. That's why you have no community.
You know what, AJ, when I be up there in New York, man, y'all got a lot of Russians up there. You know that?
Well, I don't know where you at in New York when you come. It may be
all over. Queens.
Well, you know, Manhattan. the one thing about New York is, in all honesty, it's territorial. With the Negro having no enclave of not a damn thing. Every other ethnic group has an enclave of something, and we're just scattered in the mix. And they'll give you this sort of illusion that the Negroes have some sort of control and position in Harlem. That's what you call BS. Because the seat that the prime Negro, Charlie Rego, had is now controlled by Dominicans. You don't have no community where it's controlled by black folks, but you can go into every other borough and you'll find the ethnic place where Italians have control, Indians have control, Koreans have control, Chinese have control, the Jamaican have control, the Dominican have control, the Mexican have control, and
that
even the African
true.
Have control. I know it's true.
That
I've
is
been
true.
For over 50-some years. But there
even
is no
Queens,
place.
Even in Queens, it's the West Indian.
Well,
know
I can tell you this. I can tell you this. My grandmother and grandfather and my aunt and her husband, 56 years ago, was the second family to buy a house in Laurelton, Queens, Rosedale area, Springfield Garden. Now, that area, 56 years later, is controlled by the Jamaicans and other West Indians. Now, the question is, where did the people go? They either lost their house, sold their house, and went back down south. But indigenous black people, in all honesty, are nowhere. You know, I mean, it's unfortunate that we discuss these things and we talk about these things, but every other nationality is dominating African people. And it's really unfortunate. Because we don't have an agenda or a plan other than trying to get closer to the Yoruba and to love the daddy. So whereby, you know, that's where we at. You know, Ralph, you were talking about, you know, a coalition. Here it is. Everybody else in this country has ridden the coattails a black folk so-called civil rights movement and gotten themselves into position to where they can kick black folks in the ass anytime they wish to. The gays are dominant over us. The other nationalities are dominant over us. Women are more dominant over us than ever. And the white man is just doing this thing. You now have a stronger, it seems to me, homosexual black population than you do have a straight black population this way it's looking. There was a time when black folk took serious offense to homosexuality in our community. But what the Yoruba did was he convinced that pork chop chicken eating preacher to go along with that BS and now look at us. But hey, you know, everybody happy now because LeBron James is going to L.A. That'll be the talk of the night. And, you know, get up and go to work tomorrow. That'll be the talk of the job. And, you know, that's just it. We just moving forward every single day to, in all honesty, extinction. And we don't even realize it. And that's what's so tragic. That's the sole tragedy. But you know something? If we just think of one thing, sovereignty, we could solve this problem. And that's what I'm hoping that we do at some point in time. Because, you know, a cracker ain't got no love for you. We understand that. But it really becomes a problem and an issue when other nationalities ain't got no love for you either. That's kind of tragic if you think about it in all truthfulness. How could you be in a situation with all we've been through and allow other nationalities to be in a position of dominance over us? Now, well, I know you're a working man, Ralph. You don't feel good about having somebody else trying to dominate you, because you're a real man. But it seems like there's so many of these Negroes that just go along with being dominated by the oppression.
Well, the thing we got to do now, and it's being done, is that we got to start practicing loving ourselves. You know, you can only be abused if you allow it. And once we start practicing loving ourselves, teaching that love to our children, spreading that love among our people, then this paradigm can really start to change. And the only way you do that is if you know who you are, know your history, know your relationship here with the people that's involved. Everybody's not the same. These people are not. Our historical experience with these people, it's written all over any. It's common knowledge. It's not hidden. A lot of people don't, especially those leading blacks, as you say, Ralph, they don't talk about it because it would make them look bad. But, you know, it's easy to find out our experience here, and what we need to do. It's the thing is whether we have people with the courage enough to do it.
Well, it puts their position, honestly, in a sense, Elliot, in jeopardy.
Oh, certainly it does.
Do
yeah.
Do you know if Negroes started waking up and seeing these characters like Sharpton and the rest of them for what they really are and the problems that they cause black people on the whole, the type of hell that would transpire in this country? You know what I mean? I mean, if we ever woke up to the fact to who and what these people are and the damage that they have caused African people, but for some reason we don't look at it that way. We don't move into a position of being able to define it on that level. For what reason? I don't know, man.
Well,
I just sometimes, in all honesty, can't figure it out on why we're at the position that we're at in regards to moving ourselves forward as an African people to try and be in somewhat of a dominant position on the level that we need to get to. Because, you know, in all truthfulness, we got to figure out, man, how we can get ourselves in a dominant position so that we can survive, man, into the future. Because like I tell mine, you know, always look somewhere else. Stop looking for America to be the place that defines you. Always have a worldview, because once you have a worldview, you'll be able to survive anything and be in the position to leave this place. But for some reason, you know, we don't talk to our kids like that. You know, we want them to, you know, be in America and define America as the only place that could be of any substantial growth and development in our survival as a people, which to me is utter madness. But you know, it is what it is. But listen, y'all good brothers, have a good night. Richard, you have my prayers. If you're listening, I hope that your mother does better. The ancestors will be looking after her. And Brother Ralph, don't work too hard for the daddy tomorrow, because you know you're in the co-seat tonight. And with you being in the co-seat, I got to let you know to don't work hard for the daddy tomorrow. You know what I mean? Don't do it.
Peace.
And Elliot, be good, my good brother. Hotel. Have a good night.
Talk to you soon. Let's go to 202, area code 202. Caller, are you there?
Hello, this is Sister Sean, Washington.
How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Sister Sean?
How are you? Long time. So I'm just calling to make a little announcement. We had, what I've been doing of late is kind of leading the One Million Conscious Black Voters Claude Anderson study group around his new book. And we do conferences every Sunday at 3 o'clock. So I wanted to invite the listeners to our conference. And I would like to, if I have some time, for all of your listeners to text the word Anderson, A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N, to 202-800-1393. Again, text the word Anderson to 202-800-1393.
Well, give that number again, sister.
Area code 202-800-1393.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to text the word in your text message, Anderson, for Claude Anderson, to that number. Text the word A-N-D-E-R-S-O-N to 202-800-1393, and you'll be prompted with some information, and it'll get straight to me. But today, we had a call, and it was a wonderful call, and I think it's important. I think we're making some executable kind of groundwork around this book. I was asked to start this group. Specifically, it is the 1 Million Conscious Black Voters study group around Dr. Claude Anderson. I was specifically asked to start this group by the 1 Million co-founders and Mafika, specifically, and Jim. And I think it's a good thing. They were trying to show reciprocity to their fellow, I guess, patrons. But the book, I have to put my own personal aspect in it. It's a teachable book. It's a book that I think should be in pretty much everybody's library. And even if the school system doesn't want to put it in their library, it needs to be in our personal library. It's very informative. It deals with a lot of historical facts and things that I've never even knew. And today was an instrumental day because Claude graced our group personally and spoke to us on immigration, because right now that's one of the current events. And he gave us a lot of pointers. And he's out there, he's available, and he's willing to really, give himself and give his word and his knowledge. And I really, really feel that people like Claude and Mafika and Jim are really at the point where they're handing over the torch. And I really respect that, and I'm valuing that. And I have a new team that I'm trying to build around that. But I really feel these are our elders. I don't know who's on the call, but they are really putting themselves out with giving themselves and all that they have and information and opportunities to receive from them. I think we should take it. I almost feel it's like some sort of last-ditch call. But at the end of the day, I want all of them to know that, we're here to bring in the rears. And whatever it is that they're pouring into us in whatever shape, form, fashion that give to us, the people, that we are of it, and we will bring in the rear, and we will move all of their thoughts, all of their ideals and motivations and aspirations. That you've got some people that are here working in their own ways. It may not be ways maybe they agree with, but they're ways that we respect. And I want everybody to know that, the message will be moved forward. And we will bring it forward through time of awakening, study groups, things that we're doing, that they're not silent. And we remember them. We remember Claude. We remember Amafika. And we remember Jim. And we will put their message forward. And that's all.
Hey, you know what, Sister Sean? I wanted to just step in for a second and say you've done a great job in holding that study group and the conference call together. Good organizer, good disciplinarian, and I got to just take my hat off to you. You've been doing a good job. All right?
And likewise, I really appreciate the support. We're doing things on the background, and we're not, like, always on the foreground, although I know how to be on the foreground, but sometimes we have to huddle, and we have to get the work in. So that's kind of how I describe it. We're just getting the work in. We are down, but we are not out, and we do not forget, and we know who our leaders are. I just want to put that out there. And we have our marching orders. So that's all I want to say. We have our marching orders. We know who our leaders are and who our leaders have been. So I want to make sure that everybody knows that everything that we're doing, it is the 1 million conscious black voters study group rallied around Dr. Claude Anderson. But the group is the 1 million group inspired by Amafika and Jim to rally behind as reciprocity to Dr. Claude Anderson, and I have in contact with him. He's been participative along with his wife, and everybody is in coalition and everybody is in peace. So that's what I want to leave this call with. We are all in peace and we are working. We are bringing in the rears and we are moving forward their message the best that we can.
Moving forward, that's a good thing.
Thank you for your contribution, sister.
Okay.
Peace.
Night-night. Thank you.
Well, listen, Ralph, that's a part of the thing that we always talk about on Time for Awakening, the need for think tanks all over. Every city that we dwell, every suburban area that we're in, it needs to be think tanks. These matters need to be discussed. And come up with solutions, because the solutions lies with our people. And I'm talking about the grassroots folks. It's not necessarily lying with these leading blacks. It's not. You can see it.
No.
So I'm glad more and more of these think tanks pop up, people doing the work out here, and, you know, people should join them. Text that number with Anderson. I didn't write it down. I'll get the number from sister and then put it back out there. Text the number. If you're in that Washington, D.C. area, join the group. Be a part of the solution and not just a talker. Let's go to 202, another Washington, to 202. 202.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Much love and respect. This is Tim Rob, Ms. Linus, D.C., the People's Health Initiative / Black People's Move.
How are you, sir?
My brother. So, yeah, I want to just piggyback, you know, we're familiar with Sister Sean. She's definitely doing a great program. We supporting her with hands-on self-sufficiency application to some of the things that she's doing. So, and I also want to address some of the issues, since it's an open call, from the things that we've heard so far. I just came on not too long ago, maybe about, 30 minutes, 45 minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
All right. So the gentleman before Sean came on, you know, it was a sad situation. You know, he talks about how messed up it is for the black community. I'm about to say I don't agree with that. And I'm not saying that I don't agree that it's messed up. I think that we're going through an educational process right now. Why do I say this? Because when I do the history, right, if we all came... Either we all came from Africa, or God just put black folks on every continent. It's either one or the other. Either we all came from one specific spot, or God decided for man to be on every continent and created man different on every continent, and then something happened later on. All right? So, if I'm looking at history, I don't see genocidal mass destruction of the planet. Not when black woman was in rule and black man equal in government. Not when she held the purse of the money. And those were even in the small little tribal settings. So even still to this day, that's still happening, even though we've been through European conquerors. But somewhere down the line, black folks have to learn the opposite of themselves. What is evil? How do you teach a whole planet of black folks the opposite of who they are? And that's the process we're going through right now. You know, it's only been going on now for about, what, 4,000 years, this war? You know, prior to that, you can find paradise little spots where a woman was going to get raped or murdered or lied to. You could definitely find large pockets of black population that would not allow that to happen. So what is the lesson today? If I learn how to control evil, then what does that make me? What can I become? What can I evolve into? What will my DNA break open into? You know, maybe we're looking at this thing the wrong way. How am I going to deal with money with you if you can't even stop lying? Why would I want to do money with you if you can't control lying? And which lie are you going to have that's going to destroy my relationship with you? The one that you do tomorrow or the one that you're going to do next year? It's still a lie. You know, and I think that's what the black people are going through right now. If you look at anything dealing with separation from any holy standpoint or any holy book, it says it's going to be a moral separation. And I think that's exactly what we're going through today. And I think Europe is going through their own separation process today. So I think, you know, we start with how we're going to treat each other. Things might prosper just a little bit better for us and understand that we're learning some things to actually stop doing some things, because you never know what down the line is they trying to get off the planet. How do you know we ain't come from another planet? Maybe we came from another planet. Maybe we came from the sun. How do you know? Not until you get control of your own planet that we do know for a fact is 90% black people of color. It don't matter. It's stamped that. That's what God wanted. And damn it, I'm sorry, that's what the end's going to be. Even if you look at decreased birth rates in Europe or skin cancer epidemics or shootings all up inside the high schools and drugs and opium overdose, there's only 10%, there's less than a billion of them on the planet. So don't think that they're not in the same type of crisis that black folks are in right now. But who know what fire is? I say fire come from above. You can say it come from below. I don't know. There is fire inside the middle of the earth, but, you know, those are another topic on another day. But once again, I guess my point to the moral of the story is, if we can't get our moral application straight, what would be the point of putting another dirty king in charge of us, black or white?
Brother Tamron, you said you only been listening like for 45 minutes, but that's how me and Elliot started our discussion earlier. How we treat one another, the ethics. We have lost our moral ground. We got to start respecting each other, brother, and I agree with you there. It starts with us, because, you know, you have all these dirty spokespersons, you have all these leading blacks, and they're all liars. They all want to mislead us and keep us at a certain point where we can't even think for ourselves. But, and I've heard you before on other programs. I think you saying you're into, like, growing food to support the community. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, you are correct. We sure are.
Right. So I understand where you're coming from, my brother. And we were talking about that. It's all about how we respect ourselves, respect our women, respect our communities. If we lost that, how can we look to anybody else to respect us?
That's how sad it is, brother. That's how sad. I hate to cut you off. Look, just the homosexuality.
Right.
That's how bad it's gotten on education, on morals. We've changed body parts that are not sex parts into sex parts. That's the heterosexual or the homosexual. You've actually turned an anus or a throat into a sex object. It's never been a sex object. Now, if you go back in European history, he done turned everything into a sex object. He made pictures of it all through the Greek time periods and so forth. Not in your history, though. You see where I'm going? So how do we learn this then? How am I going to sit here and look at a girl boo and be inside a woman's feces?
Right.
Let alone a man thinking that his nerves from his rectum is going to his brain to tell it that it's a vagina. That's a lie. Why would you even show that to a child? Why would you even entertain that as a black woman sitting at a Starbucks talking to a gentleman that's trying to convince you he was born as a woman? Pull your pants down and let me see. You see where I'm going? Your nerves is not saying that. There's nothing inside your inside. You don't have any eggs, no fallopian tubes, no nothing to go to your nervous system to tell you that this is supposed to be a sex organ, a reproductive system, a female reproductive system. You've made a fictitious character, but the, you know, it was in law. But see, at the same time period, you got the heterosexuals running around here defiling their own women, thinking that it's okay to play with feces. And then you mad because E. coli got in somebody's food, somebody touched some hamburger lettuce, some chicken nuggets, and now everybody's sick. Now in the city of D.C., you got to pick up the dog doo-doo. Now we got dogs going inside of restaurants. Don't that sound like the situation right before the Moor, Blackamoors went up there and tried to civilize from the black plague from in Europa?
I'm just saying.
Thanks for your contribution.
Like going around 360, huh?
Thanks for your contribution, bro.
All right, love and respect.
Peace. We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we got another caller, and we're going to add to the conversation. Brother that I met a couple of years ago, in fact, it's been more than a couple of years ago, through the 1 million Conscious Black Voters and Contributors, businessman, and he's doing some things there that he's going to share with the listening audience. Be part of the conversation. We'll be right back. You can be involved in the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. About 30 minutes left in the program. We'll be right back.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency and business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
Overworked? Suffering with an underperforming company, headache customer, staff, or vendors? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? We turned a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one transformation created for entrepreneurs like you in various industries around the country. Not what you're used to from accounting and business consulting? Well, welcome to New Business Solutions. If you're ready to go beyond advising, coaching, and training and get implemented results, call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions apply the best comprehensive administrative, accounting, operations, human resources, management, sales, and marketing to help you actualize your vision for yourself and your company. From anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072, spelled new as in numerous, on your device right now. Book your free consultation at newbusinesssolutions.com.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening with host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Once in my life, it's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. And as I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see their need? A summer's disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one-man show. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one yet to know.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. We're in open forum this evening. You can get involved in the conversation for the time we have left at 215-490-9832. All these things we talk about on Time for Awakening, we try to make it not just talk. The things have to start with us. We have to look at our children as the goal, and everything starts with that man or woman in the mirror. Let's go to, before we go to the call, the phones, let me, I mentioned that got a call on the line and want to share some things with our listening audience. I met this brother maybe 3 years ago, maybe four, in Washington, D.C. at Power Talk was the first time I met him at the Carl Nelson's Power Talk. I think it was Power Talk 2. And good brother. I always talk with him over the phone, but I never met him personally at that time. And we developed a friendship. He was one of the organizers and 1 million conscious and conscientious voters and contributors and a businessman. Since then, he's done some things with his business. And I wanted him to come on and share with our listening audience. Brother Donnie, are you there?
Yes, sir, good brother. How you all doing?
How are you, sir?
All right, how you doing? How you doing, Brother Ralph?
Hey, Brother Don. Good hearing from you, man. What a surprise.
Likewise. It's been a while. It's been a while. And Brother Richard, you know, prayers to him and his family and to his mother. And know that, hey, we got his back. But go ahead, good brother.
Donnie, listen, before we talk about some of the things that you're doing, you're a businessman, and I know that you have expertise in IT, but I didn't know that you were involved in construction. Talk about the construction company that that you and your brother are involved in.
You said businessman. Are you talking about me, man? You talking about somebody else?
No, I'm talking about you.
No, good brother. Been in IT, you know, my brother and I, we've been in business IT side for 16 years. But we were fortunate enough to meet a dear friend of mine out of New Orleans who has a black-owned family construction business, five licenses. It does commercial residentials. The business in total is over 75 years old. And so we were able, my brother and I, you know, we invest in this business. And, you know, we've been reaping a great harvest from it and trying to move our people into a direction of obtaining wealth. It's okay to be rich, but I tell anybody you want to create wealth. And that's what we've been doing, Brother Elliot and Brother Ralph, for the last 5 years with the construction side and also with the IT side.
Let me say something in reference to what you just said. You were already in business for 16 years, you and your brother, which is a blueprint for some of our listening audience that want to go into business. We've always been told, especially from other people that we listen to, a la Europeans, that never go in business with your family. But if you look around at some of these businesses in society, especially run by Europeans, they're family businesses. So, you know, when I hear that you and your brother has been in business for 16 years in the IT business, but decided to invest in another black business that had been in existence for 75 years. I mean, that's a blueprint for everyone else.
And
investing
you know,
in ourselves. I mean, you're basically investing in yourself.
Right. And, you know, it shouldn't be a shock because I'm finding out it's more brothers and sisters doing the same thing I'm doing.
Okay.
But nobody's really out there just promoting that.
Okay.
You know, what they're doing. And so.
And listen, that's one reason I got you on tonight because, you know, a lot of people buy into the narrative. And I don't want to say a lot. Some of our people buy into the narrative that our people are not doing anything and we're just aimlessly walking around in society. But it's a lot of things being done. That's one reason I had you on this evening. But, Donnie, now you talked about the construction business. Now, you came to the Philly area maybe about a year ago now, maybe a little bit less. It might have been about a year ago for some things going on in Camden. Was that related to some of the construction things that you were trying to get involved in?
Yeah, we would try to, you know, made a couple of trips to Camden / Philly area, trying to get some things jumping and popping up in the area because, you know, we know, man, on a lot of construction sites, you go to any business sites, we're not even there anymore. We used to be, you know, a couple of us doing some things, but now, you know, others are taking our position, our spots. But the thing we tout as our business, our black-owned business, which is a DAC design build, is that we do 100% of work with our people.
Okay.
And we tout that because, you know, that's something that we're supposed to do. You know, and any subs that we have, we go to black-owned subs. Any day workers, we go find black workers because we have skills just like anybody else has. All we need is opportunities, and the means to get things done, and it's what we pride ourselves on is, you know, hey, we don't get involved in all of this. I'm not saying you shouldn't, brother, but we don't get involved in all this, you know, certification, you know, that minority certification thing.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, you know, we only set aside 15%, whereas a black-owned business, we're saying we can do the whole project. Just give it to us. We can do anything anybody else can do. So that's our mindset, is that, you know, we're going to make sure our people get our due. And not only get our due, we're going to create generational wealth for anybody who works with us or come along with us to do things.
Yeah,
hey,
and
go ahead, let me. It's funny that you're having this conversation. You know, construction—that's what I'm into.
Yes, sir.
My business, and I just started my business about 2 years ago because I'm pushing that age where I'm about to retire, and I want it to be a family business to not only benefit my family but benefit my community. So I'm definitely going to be getting in touch with you because I can help you out in the Camden area and the Philadelphia area.
I have the
certification.
Yes, sir.
You're talking about, so we can rap, man. You know
okay.
what I mean?
Yeah, most definitely. That's great to hear. And so, listen to the show tonight, man. If I was a first time listener to your show, and I spoke to you this week, Brother Elliot, I would think everything is doom and gloom for our people. And I used to think that way until I did something that I talked to you earlier about this week, that I did had the opportunity to go to Africa.
Okay.
And went to Ghana specifically. And the westernized mind had me thinking that, you know, our brothers and sisters over there are not doing anything. They walk around barefooted. They don't have streets. And you know how they tell us. But I tell anybody on this, listening to your show, if you don't do anything before you leave this earth or transition to the spiritual realm, every brother and sister listening should go to the continent, and specifically to the western part of the continent. Because when I got there, man, me and my brother and my other business partner, our engineers and everything, we were totally shocked because you're seeing people who look like us, who are running things, who have wealth, who has something that we don't have in America. We used to have is a sense of family. You saw those who consider themselves, what we consider to be poor, whatever, over in Ghana, they might not have the material wealth, but they have what they have, a community wealth, where everybody took care of everybody. I didn't see one person begging, and we went throughout the whole country. Nobody came to us and begged for anything. If nothing else, they said, welcome home, brother. Come back, brother. Tell your brother in America to come back home, because the land mass is so humongous and so huge and so there's so much, man, to where we can create things and do things over there and have our brothers and sisters come back from America and have like a working international trade between the continent and our brothers and sisters here in America. And when I said, you know, the same cars, you know, we considered the Bentleys, Ferraris, they get them over there and they get them in abundance. Hotels, five-star hotels. I mean, you got sisters owning hotels and different condos, and condos running from $1.5 million on up. You got 20 floors with 8 condos on each floor. You do the math. So, you know, we were able to go there and see a lot of things. We're doing right now, can't talk about it, but I'll put it this way. My mindset is to get to Africa, and it's going to be my home. Because I see here in America, man, we can say all we want to say about, you know, what's going on here. And we know about the white people or the non-blacks. They never treated us fair. So why are we expecting them to change their mindset? And we hoping that one day old master's going to change. He's not going to change. So it's my mindset to say, you know, if you are in the process of doing something with your life, if nothing else, go to Africa. Take your kids there, man, because it changed my whole life. I'm telling you, perspective on everything.
Now, Donnie, let me ask you something, because you already stated that you and your brother are invested in a black construction company that has been in business over 75 years. How did y'all manage to get to the continent? I mean, you were invited there? They wanted you
yes.
as a...
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, that's what I kind of wanted you to express today. See, because we don't hear those type of things in the media. That is nations over there that want black folks that are qualified, and not necessarily college educated. I'm talking about with a marketable skill to come back to the continent to be part of a resurgence and not part of a problem. So talk about how you were managed to be invited there, and you don't have to talk about the business wise or what they proposed. That's your business. But yes, talk sir. About yes, the, sir. You know, go ahead.
All right. Another brother I met through the Million, Brother Errol Hunt, is in Rochester, New York. His father called me last October and was saying, hey, Johnny, come to Rochester. You know, initially we were going to meet with the mayor, a sister up there, and some more people. And I was telling Mr. Hunt at the time, senior, man, I'm not trying to come to New York in October. It's going to be cold. I'm from Tennessee. You know, hey, it's going to be snowing, whatever. You can't get me there. And so we, after a little, you know, nudging and you know, respect for the brother, went there, and we met with the mayors. And then he didn't tell me that the dignitary was coming from Ghana. Your VP, your different other dignitaries, and met with them. And brother, we had a meeting with the mayor of Rochester. They stopped the meeting, kicked everybody out. I'm standing up about to walk out. They told me to sit down. And so when I sat down, they asked me what I did, what kind of business I have. They told me to go to, they wanted me to come to Ghana the next day. And I'm like, hold up, wait a minute.
Slow up, Donnie. You're in construction. They wanted to find out what type of skill, marketable skill you had, and then wanted to bring you to Ghana. See, that's and we were just talking about this on the program earlier when I said our people need to see, we've been really dumbed down dealing over here with Europeans. We need to educate ourselves, and that don't necessarily mean college education, but just educate ourselves with a marketable skill, and that can be taught to some of our children by another person with a marketable skill. But that's how we can become part of the solution. Now, they just met you. They heard that you had a marketable skill and in business, and they immediately invite you to come over to the continent.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
And the thing about that, man, you know, I'm not a religious person per se, you know, but, you know, it was the spirit, the ancestors working on this, because, like I told you earlier, but in a week, man, my brother and I always wanted to go to Africa, but we never thought we would go to Africa. We were from a little small town in Tennessee, you know, we've been blessed, opportunities we had, but we never thought we'd get back to the continent. So, you know, we talked with the delegates from Ghana, had a great rapport with them brothers, man, and it was, you know, we just sat around and chopped shop. And they went to our website. I had some information with me. And in the meantime, from October until this year, we've been talking to each other back and forth, and we were able to go actually during their Independence Day, which was great. And we were, you know, invited guests, and we got the full red carpet and everything. But at the end of the day, they saw that we were serious, and we saw that they were serious. And anybody who goes to the continent, don't go looking for something. Bring a skill, like you said, Brother Elliot. Mm-hmm. They're looking for any type of skill. Just imagine this.
Wait a minute. Say that again, Donnie, right. What you just said, right. That last part.
All right. When you go to the continent, don't go there trying to take advantage of the continent. They want you to bring a skill. Take your skills over there.
Okay.
Because
all right.
For all kind of skills.
Okay.
For my brothers and sisters. You know, a lot of times, especially in Ghana, they ran out the Chinese. It's called Chinese to explore their country. But anyway, they're looking for brothers and sisters to come with a skill.
Okay. All right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So that's from my experience. And, you know, I'm pretty sure somebody might call in and say they had a different experience that I had. But from my experience, brother, in the continent, I met brothers from South Africa, Rwanda, Senegal, different countries who right now are booming. But the media has us thinking that they always in turmoil, civil unrest. These countries are democratic countries, man. And they take their politics even more serious than we do.
Yeah, well, they
so
don't.
There's no type of Donald Trump over there, because the president knows over there if he messes up, they're going to kick you out. It's that simple. It's that simple. So, you know, but our people got to get our mindsets, man, together to say we got to work together, first of all. Second of all, let's find out who we are. Because if you don't know who you are, you do anything. I do anything to you if I don't know who I am, but alien, who you are as an African. And thirdly, let's stop giving our oppressors so much damn credit about who we know who they are. They've never been a conscience, or I ain't gonna say not a conscience, but never have been a nice race of people, period. We know that. But at the end of the day, what are we going to do as a race of people to get our people to where we got to go?
Okay.
And I'm saying, as far as for me and my company, we're not greedy, man. We're looking to partner up with people. And what kind of disturbed me, brother, was I had went to Nashville last week, met with his sister who's an engineer and some brothers who are engineers, and then talking to them and everything. I said, what do y'all feel about going to Ghana or to Africa to work? And, man, their main thing was, I don't want to go to Africa and live. You know, I don't want to go. I'm like, hold up, brother, sister. You got a chance to make millions of dollars. You mean to tell me you're going to stay here in America and not make, have the same opportunity that you could in your own native land? So our mindsets are so just to the point to where we don't even believe in who we are. But I'm telling you, man, I believe in our people. I believe that we're going to make it. But as for me, I know I'm not going to make it here in America. It is a given. I'm not going to make it here. Because I got an opportunity now to go back to the continent and make a difference and bring people along with me and with us who want to make a difference in not only their lives, but other people's lives, brother.
Yeah, well, it's a brother on the line here tonight that I know can help what you guys are doing over there. The man is not only a good man, but he has the expertise in electrical engineering. So,
yes, sir. We're definitely, you know, brother rapper, we're definitely rap, brother. And to anybody listening on your show right now, you know, I can be reached at 731. Is it okay to get my number out, Brother Elliott?
Well, it's up to you.
All right. Yeah, I can be reached at 731-394-8847. And not only do we have things going on in Africa right now, we're looking to get forward some things going on in the States also. So, you know, if you have any type of skills when it comes to IT, to construction, to if you – just going looking for a possible job, things like that, reach out to me. And anybody else in the construction business listening to me, let's work together instead of working against each other, and we can accomplish a lot and get things started, brother.
Donnie, man, I want to thank you for being on with us this evening, man.
Hey,
and
thank
listen,
you for having me.
You know, I'm going to have you back on a number of times before you go. When you are planning to go back over?
We're looking to go back either the end of July, probably August. Right now, we got our team over there now. They'll be there till September.
Oh, so you going back soon? Well, listen, I'm going to have you on with updates on what's going on. Because, I'm glad that you came on here, gave your number, put the call out there for people that are interested in IT or being involved in learning these trades, because you're going to need guys. Ralph, what this man is talking about is what we talk about on this program.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Yes, sir. It's about solutions, man. You know,
yeah.
My thing, we get so bogged down to talking about what we don't have, what we can't do. And I'm sitting here telling people, when you go to the continent and see, I can't explain it. You have to experience it for yourself. But when you go there and see the opportunity that we have to change our lives, not in a year, I'm talking about like almost overnight, in a month, 2 or 3 months.
Well, Donnie, literally. Listen, you see what – you see Asians all over that continent because they realize it. What the hell's the matter with our people? Well, I know what's the matter, because we've been brainwashed by this man.
Yes, sir.
But we got to break out of that. We got to break out of that.
Yes, sir. And then the brother, and that thing I say, man, the brother was on before me with the, I guess he does the healthy eating.
Mm-hmm.
And I never experienced, I'm a vegetarian, but I never experienced a taste of food in my life than I had in Africa. That's the best tasting food I ever had, because it doesn't have all these different chemicals in it. It's natural, it's organic, and it's straight from the earth. And, you know, we got to eat right to live right. And, you know, I thank you, Brother Elliott and Brother Ralph, for what you all are doing with your radio show. Keep it going. You might not think you're touching people, but you are, because all it takes is a few to get a lot of stuff done. So thank you again, brother.
Donnie, I'll be in touch, man.
All right. Yeah, brother. Take care. Take care, brother.
Oh, listen, before you go, give out that number again.
Okay, yes. I can be reached at 731-394-8847. And anybody in Tennessee, I'm in Jackson, Tennessee, right outside of Memphis. Just reach out to me, man. I'm approachable. I just left St. Louis with Brother Zaki a couple of weeks ago to his function. So, you know, hey, I'm on the road. I've been laying low for a while trying to get my things together. But right now I'm building myself back up to where when we do make a move, it's going to be a major move. And, you know, everybody can just jump on board. Let's go. Let's get it done.
Give out that construction company's site again.
The name of my construction company is DAC. That's Delta Alpha Charlie Design Build. And you can go to our website, which is dacdesignbuild.com.
Donnie, I'll be in touch, man.
Hey, thanks so much, brother.
We'll talk soon.
All right, take care. Peace.
Ralph.
Yep.
That's what we're talking about, man. That's what we're talking about.
There it is.
This man got a marketable skill. He's no billionaire businessman. He got a marketable skill. He met these people for the first time. They don't know him. Told him to sit down, heard what he's doing, and invite this man to a country he's never been. He said to the, listen, he mentioned to the listening audience, he dreamed of going to the continent. He never thought he'd get there. He said it out of his own mouth. They invite him there. And evidently, I'm not going to speak for him, but evidently there's some projects there that they want him to do or be involved in, or he wouldn't have a team there now and going back in September. See, that's what I'm talking about, Ralph. Our people.
I might go with him.
Well, listen, the door is open. The door is open. Listen, that's what we need to do. Our brothers and sisters who are not college educated or college material or whatever, learn a marketable skill. Don't depend on this man for a job and for assistance and welfare, whatever. Listen, we can do this. We can start our own lives over, and it don't have to be here.
Elliot, wasn't those the words of George Washington Carver? You know what I mean?
Mm-mm-mm.
Best thing for a black man is to get a skill.
Wow.
And build on that.
And build on it. And then you can always teach it to somebody else. And that's not stopping you from still, if you want to go to college, if you want to do that, that's not stopping you. Listen, Donnie's...
Matter of fact, college is going to enhance your business, not somebody else's.
Okay.
That's the way you got to look at it, and that's real education.
Yeah, listen, when I spoke, because I hadn't spoken to Donnie in a while, but when I spoke to him and he told me what he had been doing, I had to get him on to at least tell his story to the listening audience, to let them know that, listen, our people, and that's not saying, that's not saying that you have to pick up for people that love being here. That's not saying you got to pick up stakes and move your whole family if you didn't choose to do that. You can move back and forth, have dual, there's plenty of folks that have dual citizenship.
Well, you know what? And I heard Brother Oshie talk about that plenty of time about dual citizenship.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might be. Hey, look, my wife is sitting right here next to me. And she's, and I've been telling her, I want to get out of here. When I retire, I don't want to spend my days in America. It's just that I have family here. You know what I mean? And that's the thing. But, man, I just do want to spend the rest of my days after I finish doing what I have to do here, being here. I got to find somewhere else to live. And
listen, I was talking to one of our former guests, Ezra Alaron, that has three books out on sovereignty. The Sovereign Psyche. I can't remember the other two titles, but if the listening audience, just Google Ezra Aharon, and they'll see the books on sovereignty. He's been on the program. He teaches at Delaware State. He's been on the program several times. And his good friend is Dusty Baker, the former manager.
I remember that, too.
And now, I didn't realize it, but Dusty Baker and Cool, from Cool and the Gang, formed an electrical.
Robert Bell.
Yeah. Now I'm talking about Cool. Yeah. Formed an electrical engineering company and are doing things in Ghana and looking for people to be involved. He went to Delaware State to try to recruit some of Ezra's students. So that's similar to what Donnie is talking about. It's people out here that's doing things. But you're not going to hear it if I turn on the television or turn on the local news or even some of these black talk stations in cities that are supposed to be talking about these things. Listen, that's the things that we need to be talking about. I don't want to hear none of some of the crap that some of these elected officials are doing. I want to hear things that's going
to
help.
You don't want to hear about how important it is to vote, Elliot?
Oh, come on. Yeah. Here we go. Oh, man. But, listen, I got to do some things with Donnie because I got to follow up on some things that that he's going to do. Right. But get in touch with him, man.
I will.
Yeah, I got his number. I'll share it with you just in case you don't have it.
Okay.
And thanks for pitch hitting tonight, man. You hit a home run. So
no problem. I have a way of kicking people off, especially your first call. But, you know, it is what it is.
We'll talk soon, man.
All right, bro.
Peace.
Have a good one.
I want to thank everybody for listening to the program this evening. And before I leave, again, this program was dedicated to my co-host, Brother Rich's mother and his family. For the time that the trying time that they're going through dealing with their mother. And Brother Richard, just take your time. You know, I hope you'll be back soon, but do what you have to do. It's your priority is your mother and your family. And, you know, this program is his second, maybe third. Again, I want to thank the listening audience for being with us. The week starts out tomorrow with African Perspectives with Brother Oshie from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Later in the afternoon, Brother Jihad Ahmed is on with us with Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8 on Time for Awakening from 8 to 9. Let's Buy Black 365 connect with Sister Nataki and Brother Talib. They're kind of reviewing their season 1, and I think they're taping season 2 as we speak on Tuesday. Back to Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Time for Awakening on Wednesday. Revive is back with Sister POC from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Time for Awakening on Friday. Time for Awakening is back from 8 to 10 p.m. And Saturday is SST, Saturday Sports Talk with Brother Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. And then we start again Sunday with Revive at 11 a.m. to 12 to 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then Time for Awakening is back at 7 p.m. on Sunday. I want to thank everybody for listening to the program this evening. Lively discussion as always. And we'll be back on Friday, Lord willing, to continue on this path towards an awakening. Peace.
Driving through the country on a lazy afternoon. Or you're watching your children playing after school. They seem to be so to take care of. We've got to do something, yeah, to save the children. Soon it will be their turn to try and save the world. Play such a small part.